I want to read a few scriptures this evening, just almost a potpourri, on the subject of peace. Actually, three I want to read. First, from Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Actually, I'm not going to read it, I'm just going to quote it. And then from Philippians chapter 4. And then from Colossians chapter 3. In Romans 5 and 1, it goes something like this: therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Philippians chapter 4, a beautiful passage of Scripture, I'll break in at the 6th verse: be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And then, just turning over a couple pages in my Bible to Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Here in these three brief texts are some words about peace. It was by Jesus. Remember in his last discourse in John, he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And it's interesting that I think, every post-resurrection appearance, maybe not every one, but John records at least three, the risen Savior greeted the disciples by saying, "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you." Peace is a part of the definition of the kingdom of God extended to us, at least in a practical sense. Romans 14:17, Paul writes, "The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Peace is one of the most attractive ideas in all the world. I saw on television a week or so ago, they were asking some little girl what she wanted for Christmas. Must have been a week or so ago. Don't laugh, I got a Christmas gift today, a fruit basket, and it was really nice. I'm glad for those late things. But the little girl said, "I want peace for the whole world." But talking about peace and experiencing peace are two different things. It's good to know that we're supposed to have peace. What does that do for me when I can't sleep at night because I've got things on my mind? Oh, you're the pastor. You're supposed to really have it licked. What does it do for the person who is, by makeup, a worrywart? There are some hard-nosed sinners that have more peace, at least on the surface, than many sanctified saints. Why? It doesn't seem fair. It's good to understand that peace is in the definition of the kingdom. But how does that help me in a practical way when the storms of life threaten to sweep me off the foundation that Jim was singing about this evening? We know Jesus is the cornerstone. But I, in a practical sense, want to know what that means to have His peace. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." But how am I supposed to be an agent for peace in this troubled world when I don't have real peace, or if I don't have real peace in my own heart? Prophets warned about those who came crying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. And I know that has a different application. There are people that were preaching what the people wanted to hear. But there's a sense in which you might apply this: people preaching peace when really they're not at peace with God themselves. How can I start to be a peacemaker? How can I really experience, in a practical sense, that peace that passes understanding down in my heart, like we sing about? And that's what I want to talk about briefly from these three texts. To begin with peace, we can and we may and we must find peace with God. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have to know that we are not at cross purposes in our hearts with God. We've stopped telling God what He needs to do. We have come confessing our sin and pleading the saving, cleansing blood of Jesus. Before you leave this church tonight, I can promise you, on the authority of God's word, you can have peace with God. There can be an end to the frustration, even the hostility you may feel in your heart. You can have a sense of acceptance in Christ and access by faith into all of God's grace, and that's not a bad thing. Actually, it's a wonderful thing. And that's a whole sermon, and you've heard me preach it a number of times, and I'll preach it again, I hope, this year. Righteousness, peace, no, justification, adoption, regeneration. Peace with God. But peace with God is not the same as having a deep, settled peace in our soul. Peace with God is not the end. Actually, peace with God is just a good beginning. For we need to continue on toward peace. And I know I just gave that a lick and a promise as far as Romans 5, 1 and 2 are concerned, but probably 90 or 95% of us here tonight know how to get right with God. And that's peace with God. But we need to live over in the area not only of peace with God, but knowing something about the peace of God. And we can continue toward peace, as it says here, if we will do certain things, if we will be anxious for nothing, if in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving we let our requests be made known unto God, we can find the peace of God. And we find this peace by learning to think like God. Well, actually, we can't think like God. His ways are far, far above ours. He understands things perfectly. But this is a beginning of a new perspective. Believing that God sees what we don't see, and God knows what we don't know, and that God is in control. What this prescription is making faith our total way of life. It's a deliberate choice of attitude. I want to tell you, maybe there are people that preach that this is a sudden thing. I believe you can be saved in an instant of time. I believe you can make a consecration and be filled with the Holy Spirit in an instant of time. But this following after peace, this finding the peace of God, is not an automatic or simple thing. It's not a guarantee that there will not be emotional turbulence. It's no promise that if you start following after peace, the peace of God, that you won't be severely challenged and put through emotional stress from time to time. And yet there is a clear formula here that if we will follow, we will find the rest of God. Pastor Earl Lee wrote that beautiful little book, The Cycle of Victorious Living, taken from the 37th Psalm. I always get 37 and 34 a little mixed up in my head. I like both of them. 34 begins, I will bless the Lord at all times. But 37 begins, fret not. Fret not. And that same formula is found here in the 4th chapter of Philippians. When we are threatened to be overturned in the peace that is ours by legacy, by promise, we have a choice. And it says we can either be anxious and we can fret, or we can commit everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to God. We need to make God a partner in all of our life and living. In everything with thanksgiving, let God know where you are. You're on His side. And then it goes on to say, deliberately dwell on the good and on the holy. Only God knows the damage and danger of grumbling and complaining and whining. We talked a little bit about this Wednesday night, about grumbling. And it seems like it's a sort of a minor thing, but if we want the peace of God, Paul spells it out in this beautiful passage. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, we let our mind dwell on those things. And right here, we need to be a little bit negative, I think. We don't see any correlation between letting other people fill our minds with what they want to fill our minds with, and then wondering why we have no peace. We're bringing him up right anyway, aren't we? If he does it again, take him out. No. But I'm seriously concerned that we can sit before the television set and watch people shoot each other for fun. I mean, it's fun for us, you know, shoot 'em ups. Oh, I know there's a place for a good detective. There better be a good place for a good detective story, because I enjoy them very much. But I'm talking about prurient interest, violence for violence' sake, sex for sex' sake. Accepting the mores of our culture that it's okay to jump in bed with anybody you feel like. And we sit and let these things pack into our minds. And it's just the opposite of this formula, whatever is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely. We're God's children. We belong to Him. We're supposed to be holy. And so what we need to do from time to time, when He checks us by His Holy Spirit and says, what in the world is that you're watching? We need to say, yes, Lord, I'm sorry. and get up and turn it off, not because it's in a black book somewhere, or because the preacher says this is how we ought to live, but because we're pursuing the peace of God. Spiritually, we must look like Ethiopia to God. And some places that are poverty-stricken spiritually probably look something like we do physically. Well-fed, overweight. Well, not overweight spiritually, I suppose. But do you hear what I'm saying? It's important what we pack in if we expect to have the peace of God. That's a whole nother sermon too. And if I dwell on these potpourri points here, I won't get to the practical application I want to give at the end. We've talked about peace with God, and that's important. You can have that tonight. We're talking about the peace of God. And that's something we pursue. But this passage closes by saying, if you do all these things and work at it, the God of peace will be with you. And the end or goal of all this is so we can snuggle up to God, if I could use that phrase. Our goal in life is the God of peace himself. Peace is not just a technique we learn or a wonderful emotion, or holding our emotions in check when somebody else flies off the handle. That's wonderful. But the best thing about the peace of God is that it comes from being near to God himself. Here's a little quote I just clipped out of the latest Christianity Today. Actually, it's a quote from Sinclair Ferguson, the book he wrote called A Heart for God. When we look back at what the masters of the spiritual life have written and said, it's hard to escape the conclusion that we have been the victim of a confidence trick in our century. Over the past few decades, the evangelical church has been gripped by a series of issues and concerns that have primarily been marginal or at best of secondary importance. Conferences, seminars, and books on a whole series of vital concerns have dominated center stage and determined the agenda in many churches and for many individual Christians. But strikingly absent has been concentration on God himself. Indeed, on the rare occasions when this absence has not been the case, we have sat up to take notice as though something out of the ordinary were being said. And yet Paul says that's what we're driving for. It's great to have peace with God. It's great to know the peace of God. But the whole point is, the God of peace wants to walk with you, wants to be with you. God, or the peace of God, is a spin-off from friendship with God himself. There's the essential connection. I know until we die, we have to walk by faith. And there will be times when our emotions and our human judgment will fail to give us the assurance that we need. But if we have peace with God, and if we're actively pursuing the peace of God, then the promise is that God of peace will be with you. But we need to remember that the pathway of peace does not lie along the line of simply asking questions or assigning blame or finding fault with God. Whose fault is it, Lord, that I have this struggle to face? But no, the pathway of peace is pushing up close to this God who wants to share all of our life with us. As our faith grows and develops, we learn new questions to ask as we grow older. We are staggered at times by the failures of others we trust. We are pushed to the limit at just about every stage of our growth and development. But I want to tell you this evening, you can trust Jesus. He's the same person you prayed to as a little child. He's the same person that you gave yourself to when you first heard about heaven and hell and sin and salvation. Jesus really did die for you, and he rose again for you, and he's seated just now at the right hand of the Father, and he's praying for you. This Jesus wants you to know his peace. Now let me close. In the other passage about peace, Colossians 3, turn over there if you like. One of those convenient lists that helps keep the peace. And let's look at them. They're all related to Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. I know my sermons usually are more logical and they flow, at least I hope they do. They do in my thinking. And I'm tagging this on the end, but I wanted to do it to give you a handle to hold on to. First of all, Paul says, let the peace be the arbiter of your heart. Let the peace of Christ rule. Verse 15. What's he saying? In the everyday living out of your life, make that peace more precious than your own desires. Whatever disturbs your peace, immediately stop. If you can, go and find a place of prayer and pray about it. If you can't, send up a prayer in your heart. God doesn't trouble us in order to condemn us or damn us, but he does speak to us to try to strengthen his peace. So Paul says, let the peace of God be a ruler in your heart. If you want peace, follow the peace you have. If you want more peace, when you're tempted to cut corners in honesty, as we said before, when the TV becomes blatantly violent or lustful, when you're tempted to use your body or your relationship with the opposite sex for thrills, that's not love, it's sin. It isn't the thrill that's wrong, it's the sex out of a covenant relationship of marriage. When we find our peace disturbed, we need quickly to heed what God is saying to us. Let the peace of God rule. But that's not the end. It says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Nobody, no one in the world can have God's peace apart from God's word. The word is the source and resource of our strength. It's our food. The word's our living supply. And that's why it's important that the Bible be preached from this pulpit and that you attend on the preaching. But even more important, that's why we need to read by ourselves and together in Bible studies, in small groups, and in our own private devotions, the word, and pack it away in our heart until the word dwells in us. And then finally, verse 17, it says, whatever you do, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Let Christ's name authorize or be the authority for everything that you do. This doesn't mean that he gives you a blank check. Anything you want, you can simply write a check for anything in the universe, but it does mean that whatever God commands, he makes possible in Jesus' name. Doesn't mean you can just pray anything and tag that on the end, but it does mean that where he sends, he opens the door. It does mean that if you want peace, his authority says you can have it. I thought about sticking in an illustration here, but I'll just tell you about it. It said, I can't tell it like HB did. But those of you that heard him tell it, remember, he took about 5 minutes to describe a big 18-wheeler. And he really described it so well, I thought it might come through those doors back there. How it just pulsed with power. And he was in a traffic jam, and this big 18-wheeler was blocking his way. And he'd been sitting there waiting. And he says they got ready to go. He knew that 18-wheeler was going to pull out ahead of him. And he said he wasn't about to argue with him. He said that 18-wheeler represented power. and a whole lot more power than he had. Although I don't know what HB is driving, but it's probably pretty slick. But he said about the time he knew that that 18-wheeler had him blocked and had him buffaloed, he said, one of California's finest. Not too big a man. But he just spent about 5 more minutes describing him, the spit and the polish, and how he looked just like he'd stepped out of a bandbox. He just happened to come along and pull his car over to the side of the road and got out to unsnarl the traffic jam. And he just pointed at the 18-wheeler as if to say, stop. And then he pointed to HB and he said, go. And he said, that is authority. 18-wheeler had the power. California's finest had the authority. And HB said he didn't thumb his nose as he went by, but I got the idea he thought about it. Whatever we can do in the powerful name of Jesus. Are you enjoying your legacy? Do you really have peace? Have you begun at the beginning? Do you have peace with God? You can take care of that. But I'm concerned about the great majority here tonight that you have peace with God, but are you really pursuing the peace of God? And are you in fellowship with the God of peace? Father, help us to live up to your tremendous gift to us. Teach us to leave undone the things we need to leave undone, and teach us to do the things we need to do until we can let the peace of God rule and the Word of God dwell and the name of Jesus authorize all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close by singing. I've got number 416 in here, Hidden Peace. I'm not sure if it's 416 or 18 we're supposed to sing, but Hidden Peace anyway. Thank you. 416. Let's stand together as we sing.
I cannot tell thee whence it came, this peace within my breast, but this I know, there fills my soul a strange and tranquil rest. There's a deep settled peace in my soul. There's a deep settled peace in my soul. Though the billows of sin near me roll, He abides, Christ abides.
Can we set that down a couple notches? I can't hardly hit that F tonight. No.
Beneath the toil and cares of life, this hid my weary soul no longer thirsts, nor am I sad and lone. There's a deep settled peace in my soul. There's a deep settled peace in my soul. Though the billows near me roll, He abides, Christ abides. I cannot tell the half of love, unfeigned, supreme, divine, that cause my darkness in most self with beams of hope to shine. There's a deep settled peace. There's a deep settled peace in my soul. Though the billows of sin near me roll, He abides, Christ abides.
I don't want to close the service without giving opportunity. If there are those here that would like to pray, we've had a kind of an unusual sermon with a loud amen and some other things. And I haven't put any pressure on, but if you don't have peace with God tonight and you want to pray, the altar's open. If you don't know the peace of God, I wouldn't tell you to come, but will you pursue the peace of God? Just take that formula from Philippians 4 and literally apply it. Always sing this last stanza. You mind the Lord, the altar's open.
I cannot tell thee why He chose to suffer and to die, but if I suffer here with Him, I'll reign with Him on high. There's a deep settled peace in my soul. There's a deep peace in my soul. Though the billows of sin near me roll, He abides, Christ abides.
Thank you for your faithfulness, for the authority of your word. We pray that you will be as true as your word tonight. And for those that come to you to be justified by faith, may they have the assurance that they have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Make the issue plain and clear. And then for all of us who are pursuing the peace of God, our Father, give us the wisdom to let your word dwell in us and help us to move in your authority. Now dismiss us from this place and help us to be the church. Help us to be inhabited by your spirit and be your body. In Jesus' name, amen.